Something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina. And like most live entertainers, Steve Spade was one of the worst hit by COVID-19. All bookings literally cancelled overnight last March, and an incredibly difficult year for entertainers all around the country and around the world, in fact. But you've got a great story, Steve. First of all, tell us, what is it that you do?
Hi, Trina, how are you? So I'm a magician and escape artist. Over the last few years, I've started kind of pushing the escapes a bit more. So I've been kind of dubbed Ireland's Houdini. So yeah, escapology is mainly what I do, but I'm a magician as well. I do mind reading and hypnosis. So it's kind of a mixed bag of magic.
Oh, what am I thinking right now? You do mind reading.
You're thinking it's early, and I wonder, does he have a good enough story?
And I love a cup of tea also.
And I love a cup of tea, yeah. And a biscuit.
How do you even train to do something like that?
It was just something that I was always interested in. I was very interested in magic as a child, and it was like a hobby that became a career, I guess. And the escape side of things, I saw the Houdini movie with Tony Curtis very early on with my dad, and it was just the character of Houdini just kind of spoke to me, I guess. And then as I kind of got older and kind of realized what magic kind of is, and then escapology side of things is so different that it's kind of more skill-based. You have to really learn how to pick locks, and you have to train hard, and, you know, there's a lot of different disciplines. So I think that kind of appealed to me a little bit more.
Because it's such a big secret for most of us. We don't know how these tricks are done. It just makes me wonder, how do you find out how they're done? Like, is there some secret website somewhere?
Do you know what? There really is. I know people kind of think it's funny with the kind of whole Harry Potter thing, but there is like secret lectures and different lectures and different things across the whole world of magic. And there is a lot of stuff behind closed doors. Obviously, if you're interested in magic, you can learn magic. You can go to different, library, even just the local library. You'll pick up a book on self-working card tricks or whatever, just to kind of get you going, you know. But my kind of start into it was my uncle was a magician, so I would only meet him kind of rarely, you know. Uncle Michael, he's a doctor as well, and I would only kind of meet him, you know, typical kind of Irish uncle, you'd meet him at a wedding or a funeral kind of thing. But every time I did meet him, he always had a trick in his pocket or he performed something, and I was just captivated by it. So that was very early on, and I remember getting magic sets then for like Christmas from like 4 or 5 onwards, and then it was just, I think David Blaine kind of puts it best, you know, you don't get into magic, magic gets into you. And I think that's really what happened, you know.
That's mad. Your uncle was a doctor. So was he like pulling out tricks to try and cheer up patients and distract them then?
Yeah, he might have been a bit of a Patch Adams. I'm not 100% sure exactly. But he always had a massive interest in it. And as I got a bit older into it then, he started giving me kind of older books and highlighting. I'm still a big believer that if you want to learn something, you got to dig into the books. You know, obviously you can Google things and you can check out stuff online, but I think the real secrets of magic especially are in the old books. You know, when you stand on the shoulders of giants and things like that. So escapology, for example, there's very little of that written up. You really have to dig deep if you want to find out the real secrets of that. What is out there in the kind of known world can be a bit of hearsay-ish. People think that they kind of know like Houdini's life, but a lot of his life is fabricated, you know. So if you really want to dig deep, you have to. I'm the only Irish member of the United Kingdom Escape Artists Association, so I'm an honorary member from those guys. So that was nice to be invited to be part of that group. And then since I've been part of those, we're talking more about the different, the kind of inner circle of escapology.
Oh, it's so secretive. Listen, do you watch TV shows like Britain's Got Talent, or do you go to these shows yourselves? Because you must know every trick, like nothing can fool you.
You know, it's one of those things. I think that's the price you pay to be a magician. That moment of being kind of wowed, or that kind of magic moment, I guess, is what you kind of jeopardize as being a professional magician. I do sometimes get fooled, and it's amazing when I do. I get a little bit. Sometimes I kind of just give up as well. Like people like Darren Brown, I just kind of like sit back and just enjoy that and try not to figure it out. I like being fooled still. I think a magician is always chasing to be fooled or be tricked next, and I think that's why there's such a big community of and then a very localized community of magicians kind of globally as well, because we're always trying to fool each other and then kind of fool the public on the back of it.
And you actually own a pair of Houdini's handcuffs. They must be worth a fortune, are they?
I don't know if they're worth a fortune, but to me they're totally priceless. I won them on a TV show called Baggage Battles, and it was they asked me to come on the show and appraise them. And I just done an escape. I done a kind of a burning at the, like a witch burning escape type thing, like a burning at the stake, called Sacrifice in King John's Castle in Limerick. And when I had done that, the journalist wrote up in America and things that crazy Irish magician sets himself on fire. So the producers from that TV show caught wind of this, and when they came to Ireland with the cuffs, they wanted me to appraise them and talk about them. They knew that I was an expert in all that field. So, so I went in and they asked me what I do in a stunt or an escape at the end of the credits of the show, just to kind of finish off the end of the show. And I said, yeah, 100%, what do you want me to do? And they're like, maybe a rope escape or something. You know, Houdini was big into the 100-foot rope escape. I was like, yeah. And they asked me my time, and you know, and I went up and I talked to them. They showed me the cuffs, we appraised them, we did the whole show. And then the producer was like, oh, maybe we could challenge you that, you know, if you get out of your rope in time, we'll give you the cuffs, or and then you'll pay what you think they're worth. And I, at the time, I thought they were worth about 10,000, because I was asking around, and I was like, I suppose one man's rubbish is another man's treasure, kind of a thing. So if you're a big collector, you know, they're worth a lot, but if you're not, they're not really worth a lot. Yes, to cut a long story short, they were just like, maybe just do the stunt and we'll kind of see what happens. So I did it and I took the bet, and then I won the cuffs to live on the show.
And you're coming through an airport trying to explain why you have handcuffs in your luggage.
I've come to the airport trying to explain all sorts of stuff. The customs don't like me, that's for sure. I think a magician's bag of tricks can be quite unusual, and an escape artist is even more so, because you've got bags of chain and handcuffs and duct tape and everything, so it never looks like what you're actually doing.
Oh God, can you imagine? They're looking at taking photographs of you thinking you're some weirdo.
I've had to Google myself and show them just to prove that, look, I'm not.
You haven't, have you? Oh, that's so funny.
I have.
You've performed for a lot of celebs as well. So tell me who you've performed for.
Mike Tyson was one that really stands out to me. He was in Ireland doing kind of an audience with Mike Tyson, and I was asked by the promoters to come and warm up the audience, and we got to hang out with Mike for a little while. So that was amazing, because it was just one of those kind of iconic figures that everyone kind of, you know, as you're a kid, you're watching him on TV, and then you get a chance to meet him. I did an after party for Rihanna one time. Saoirse Ronan, and some other Irish celebrities as well. So, I mean, it's great. I mean, what's nice about magic in that sense is it doesn't really matter who it is. They always kind of react the same. And it's a nice, normal, human kind of moment where they're kind of thinking maybe like a child again, and that magic kind of moment kind of happens. So it's kind of cool to see celebrities drop their veil and just be kind of human again for a second. And you kind of cause that. It's an amazing feeling.
Do the tricks ever go wrong? Have you ever had an absolutely disastrous day when just nothing would work out for you?
Well, in escapes, it's even worse. When something goes wrong, it can go really wrong. So yeah, I've dislocated my arm. I've dislocated my top of my rotator cuff on my shoulder. I've dislocated my thumb. You can have bad days in escapes. I think I remember a friend of mine there recently was like, there's no kind of like semi-professional escape artist. I was like, I think if you're a semi-professional escape artist, you're more likely very injured or dead, because there's no, you know, if you mess up a card trick, okay, you have a bad day and you got the card wrong or whatever. But if you mess up a trick, it's a different ballgame. And I remember like starting off and being younger and being kind of naive about it. I would just do it and then kind of hope for the best, I guess. I suppose when you're in your like early teens and things like that. But I think the last few years I've started working with, you know, movie stunt crews and pyrotechnics and safety consultants and things like that, stunt consultants, just because what you are doing is very dangerous and it has to be really rehearsed and really put the time in. I think when you're young, you just kind of run into it and try to do it. My very first escape was an underwater box escape, and it was just done with, you know, friends and family and stuff like that. And I did it for the ISPCC. So that was the very first big one. And I remember doing the training for it. There was times where we were doing training, underwater training, where I black out, wake up and like, what happened, kind of a thing. So it is one of those things you really have to put the effort and the work into it.
How did the family and your friends and your girlfriend and everything feel about you doing this? Because it's not a safe job.
It's not really. Me obviously, the magic side of things is quite demanding as well. And obviously with the pandemic, nobody knew what the entertainment world would be like by the end of this year. So it has been, you know, challenging in that sense. But yeah, the escape side of stuff, I remember like my dad has passed away. He passed away 2 years ago, but I remember having to always kind of run things through him. And he'd be kind of like, if you think it's safe, it's safe. He knew that I kind of knew the background of what I was doing and everything else like that. But he used to help me with my training, and he used to help me with a lot of things. And when I did my last big stunt in Northern Ireland, I had to escape from a mobile home. I was chained to a chair and put inside a mobile home, and then a shipping container was hanging above it and a pyrotechnics underneath, and I had so much time to get out before the whole thing blew up or got crushed. And I remember talking to him about it, and it was the last one I talked about it, but then by the time the stunt had come around, Dad had passed, and it was very different to do to do one without him because he was always there and it was a very big one. So the fact that it was a challenge escape, someone challenged me to do it. So you've less, I suppose you've less control overall of the stunt. If you're kind of doing it yourself, you can put in the parameters, but when you're being challenged, things can change. For example, when we were doing that stunt, it changed from, initially it was meant to be a wrecking ball, but they decided a wrecking ball would only hit one part of it and maybe I could have escaped and run to the other side of the mobile home or something. They changed it to a shipping container because they wanted to cover the whole roof of the mobile home. So yeah, I mean, there's always little things. And then just very close to the actual thing, they were like, we don't want you to use your own chains or padlocks. We want them supplied by a hardware store. And it being a challenge, I went back to the crew and I was like, well, they challenged me an extra little bit on top of this. And they were like, well, look, if you're comfortable doing it, we're here to back you up. So I accepted the last bit of the challenge where they brought their own padlocks and chains that morning.
God. And you must sometimes, though, think, all right, this actually could be a bad idea. Have you ever gotten close to thinking, uh-oh, gone very wrong here?
There is a few kind of safety guards that we have in place that I can signal the crew that there's an issue really happening. Because, I mean, you can train a lot for everything, but there can just be, you know, an act of God, something that just happened on the day or something that you weren't really prepared for, even though you're very prepared. There is times where you're thinking, even talking to you now and saying what I'm saying is mad. You know, it's very rare that you actually hear yourself talking about it, you know, in that way. So, yeah, it is. Sometimes you do question of, like, maybe I should just do card tricks.
Yeah, because, I mean, these things have gone wrong before. Magicians and illusionists and all these kind of people. There have been deaths, haven't there?
Oh, there has, yeah. I mean, most famously, I suppose, would be the bullet catch is one where a lot of magicians have died, and also buried alive, which is a trick that Houdini said is one of the most dangerous. So, yeah, I mean, there is a lot of different ones. And I think that's just like what I was saying. If you were younger in your career and you just want to do it for some publicity or something, I think you would kind of take those risks, unfortunately. And I think that's where accidents happen. I think you need to be really, if you're going to do escapes, you really have to know that there's going to be, and there can be, really bad outcomes.
So this year has been a rubbish year, really, isn't it? Because you want people to be up there close and personal, seeing these things happen. So how have you adapted then? I know you're doing this virtual Christmas parties. How's that going to work?
Yeah, so the virtual shows are for like corporate companies and team building and keynote speaking for them. And so they kind of build up their morale and keep everyone going. Obviously, a lot of companies have been quite busy through the pandemic. And it's just something kind of to give back to our staff. It's just a fun interactive show. So I co-designed it with a magician in the UK that works with Dynamo and another magician in the States, Morgan Stripler, who's consultant for TV for David Blaine and people like that. So yeah, it's been a few months in the making, but it's a fully interactive show and you even get to learn a little bit of magic at the end of it, so you can kind of go and share magic with your friends and family over the Christmas. It's great to have, you know, a party trick and you learn one in the part of the show.
You'd laugh at me so much, Steve. I've got a 3-year-old and I try to do the, you know, hiding the coin behind her ear and I can't even get that right. I can't even impress a 3-year-old.
I'll send you a video call and I'll work you through it.
Yeah, exactly. I need all the help. So listen, I love the website name as well for this virtual Christmas party. So it's stevespandamagic.com. Very good.
Yeah, and Escape is the name of the show. So the idea is that everyone needs to escape. So you can escape now with Ireland's Houdini.
Well, Steve, been really interested in chatting to you. Steve Spade there, and continued success. I'm sure we'll have you on again. You have to keep coming up with new stuff the whole time, don't you? That's the issue. You master something and then you're looking for the next thing.
That's it, yeah. You're on to the next big thing. And I mean, we had two large stunts that were postponed this year and another one in play as well that couldn't happen this year anyway, but it would be another year or two down the road. Yeah. So yeah, you're always working on the next one. And I mean, I'm very lucky. I work with a stunt crew called Total Stunt Ireland, and I had a very good consultants with those guys, other magicians as well, other consultants. Another thing that we did just really quickly before I go is during the pandemic we started a thing called Deceive Reality, which is Ireland's only magic podcast. So we're interviewing other magicians that have been on, like Britain's Got Talent, America's Got Talent, Penn & Teller Foolers. So we're on episode nearly 20 now, and we've got lots of different. So you can check that out to see reality, and you'll find us on Instagram and things like that. And we've got lots of different podcasts up since we started in about May. So that's been fun as well.
Yeah, well, you won't be giving it up anytime soon to go get a job in a library or something like that, I would imagine.
No. Well, if it was a magic library, 100%. But no, I don't think so.
Wouldn't be for you.
Wouldn't be for me, no. But yeah, everything is on stevespademagic.com, or you can check me out on Steve Spade or Steve Spade Magic on Instagram. So that's
super.
Everything.
We'll absolutely do that. Thanks so much. Have a great few weeks leading up to Christmas. I know it's going to be busy for you, and hopefully we'll chat again. Thanks so much, Steve.
See you again. Bye-bye.
Cheers. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Classic Hits.